You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Greetings, adventurers. Today we're excited to introduce you to a new story, Dark Dice, a horror podcast that blurs the line between actual play and audio drama, where the story is determined by the roll of the dice. Six adventurers embark on a journey into the ruinous domain of the Nameless God. They will never be the same again. One of the players is not what they seem after a doppelganger, a creature that can assume the form and voice of whatever it kills, infiltrates the team. As the players are picked off and replaced one at a time, can they figure out who the monster is before it's too late? Can you? Here's a quick example of what our show sounds like.
The shambler with the jar of liquid inside of him.
Soren Arkwright let loose an arrow that cracked the glass, passing through the spine of the creature. The shambler still managed to maintain its forward momentum, but stumbled as it eagerly tried to bite and swipe at Soren, landing near his feet.
As Jeff Goldblum has now joined our cast, Dark Dice is available however you listen to podcasts.
What's up, everyone? It's Noah Daniels, and we're here for another episode of the Real Hauntings podcast. Kat and JJ are still planning their wedding. It is coming up super soon, so we'll get them back on the podcast here in a little bit. But I have more cats for you. I have Catherine here to guest host with me, and our guest is Kat. So I'm sure that won't be confusing for anybody, but we're so happy to have you both on the podcast. Catherine, thank you for coming back and guest hosting.
Thank you always for thinking of me. You know I'm happy to do it.
Absolutely. And Kat, our guest, I saw your videos on TikTok, and it has been a while since I have been like kind of spooked slash creeped out when I see a TikTok video, just because on the podcast we take in, you know, a ton of media, whether it's booking guests or just what gets recommended to us. But yours did it for me. So welcome to the podcast. Yeah, absolutely. I don't know if it was a combination of things. It's the audio you chose, your wonderful acting, you know, all the above. But one thing we love to find out from our guests is where they fall on what we call the believometer. Zero meaning you don't believe in ghosts, and 10, ghosts are absolutely real. Where do you fall on that scale?
I fall on a 10. Actually a 12 if that exists. The many experiences that I've had, like usually I would think like, oh, that's just a bunk or debunked. Usually like the sounds that I hear in a house that I live in currently, sometimes they're debunked, but another part of it is, well, that doesn't make any sense to me how it would make that noise. For the longest time since I've had Emmy follow me around, like I started, you know, just developing more and more beliefs into it and just seeing things and hearing things that, you know, most people can't, and me telling people like, hey, like I just saw someone just walk this way or just, you know, sit in the living room for a while. Did you not see that? And they're just like, no, what are you on? But it's kind of just been developing ever since I was, you know, from, I think 8 years old, I started getting a little bit creeped out by certain things. And then later on, it's just like, okay, spirits are real. They're here. They're, well, I wouldn't say alive, but you know, they're walking around. They're among us for sure.
At what age, I know you said eight, but at what age did you really start believing that they were real or that they are real?
There came a time where I think I was, whenever I started developing beliefs, because, you know, I watched horror movies whenever I was like really, really little. Hmm. And which may sound bad, but, you know, the gore and The Conjuring was one of my like favorite ones. And, you know, the Ed and Lorraine Warren, you know, based on a true story with The Conjuring, I was just like, wow, these people are actually real. That's when I realized like they're telling the truth. Like they've been through some, some stuff, and they've been through very rough experiences, especially traumatizing. And I've been through some traumatizing times as well. You know, I started developing more and more beliefs at like 10, 11, it could have been possibly 12, because, you know, for whenever Emmy started following me around, it was kind of unbelievable. Like I thought like maybe, you know, I was seeing things, or maybe I was kind of, you know, going through a mental disorder or a mental illness. But there came a time where I started seeing more and more spirits and hearing them. And I'm just like, okay, this is not a mental illness. This is nothing mental. This is real life. One of my TikToks that I explained, which was, you know, whenever I was in my Nana's house and I saw someone crawl up on my bed, someone, something, it could be somebody portraying or something portraying someone else. When I saw that, I started really taking precautions and, you know, building up walls and keeping my guard up. So I realized what's bad and what's good. And I read from, I think online, someone on Reddit said that, you know, spirits that are children can portray as demons. That's what I read, at least. And I was kind of not really trusting Emmy for a little bit until later on. I was just like, okay, no, she's been pretty, you know, not sketchy. She hasn't been sketchy at all. She's been, you know, pretty helpful. She's helping me realize what's good and what's wrong. She's been telling me like things that are bad for me and what's good for me, teaching me how to go on like the right path. And she's more of a guardian angel than anything to me. When I tell people that, it's just like, that's a little creepy that a little girl's just following you around. Does that not creep you out? And I'm just like, no, it doesn't creep me out knowing that she's a good, you know, spirit. And I wouldn't really count her as a spirit. I think that she's really just an angel that just, you know, guides me down paths that are good and, you know, keep my life on track. So,
well, Catherine, I would like to get your take on this, because Kat brought up a point that I had not really thought about. When somebody talks about being exposed to horror movies and supernatural in the media at a very young age, because we talk about part of the supernatural can be the belief in supernatural. They may expose themselves to people who believe more so than people who don't. Catherine, do you think that if somebody starts watching horror movies at a young age, that could impact their relationship with the supernatural as they get older? Or is that just pure happenstance with what took place?
I think that it's less of watching it to influence their thought process as it is, and it's more of opening their awareness up to it so that they're already willing to believe that it's possible that this sort of thing can come through to them. I do, however, believe that it can open your mind to heavier, more negative entities quicker than maybe, like, I want to say, just like passive, naturally occurring experiences. And honestly, while you were talking, and I'm not always like super tapped in for these sessions, but for whatever reason today, I was like, let's tap in. This is going to be more fun. And by the way, I just want to say that when Noah sent me your TikTok and the one that he sent me, I was like, God damn it. It's a good thing I really like Noah and his podcast, because I don't want to do this. So as someone who has had experiences similar to yours, I had straight up chills as well. But I'm the biggest baby medium I know, to be fair. Like, everything scares me. However, I would say that your traumatic experiences carried more of a push and a weight toward you being open intuitively. Mm-hmm. But who is Emmy? Because I feel like I missed that. So who's Emmy?
So Emmy, I, you know, my mother was the one that kind of reminded me of her. Cause you know, whenever I first like came out to her, I was just like, hey, you know, this might sound like unbelievable to you, but there's this little girl that's been kind of like following me around, and I don't really know what her, I can't really remember her. I can't really explain her reaction to it, but she was like, did she ever tell you her name? And I was like, yeah, her name's Emmy. I don't think you can see her. She goes, well, let me tell you this. And so a little backstory on our house was, our house was kind of just like one big connection. So the living room was attached to the kitchen, and the kitchen led to the laundry room, and the laundry room attached to her bedroom. And so with the laundry room being right next to her bedroom, with that door that opened, she watched it open. And it kind of clicked to me, because then I started having like, you know, kind of back flat, like flashbacks of just like me kind of laying in the bed. You ever just like have flashbacks of like whenever you were younger and you're just like, wow, now I remember, maybe this might be a dream, or, you know, I always thought this was a dream. No, I thought that me laying in that bed and kind of seeing the door open a little bit, I thought that was a dream. And I was like, so, you know, Emmy's been following me around this whole entire time. And she's like, yeah, you just said that she slept in the laundry room. I don't know her. You don't know her. Nobody in my family knows her. And I was just like, well, that's crazy, because, you know, she's been following me around. I'm 19 now. She's been following me around for 15 years. And it's crazy, because usually with my mom, like she likes to change subjects on that. And I was expecting her to kind of change the subject on like Emmy, but like, no, she straight up told me, it was like, you know, Emmy's been there all the time since you were young. And, you know, I wouldn't say that I have a bad feeling about her, but I would say just be careful. So I've been, like I said, I've been keeping my guard up with certain things like that, especially what I read online later on in life. But, you know, it was a shocking experience for me, especially my mom, because my mom was absolutely petrified, and she didn't know what to do. She stayed in that house because I begged her to stay, because she was about to pack my stuff up and hers as well and just leave the house. And I convinced her to stay because Emmy was so nice to me that I was just like, Mom, no, let's stay. She's lonely. I need her to stay with me, or I'm not going to be able to like really know what's going on in life. My mom stayed and I stayed, and Emmy's been staying there, staying with me. She's been kind of attached to me for the longest time. And, you know, we've had, you know, some conversations. The conversations would sometimes end up being like an hour long. And I don't really know much about her other than I think she like burned to death, or she died in a fire. And she lost her mom. She can't ever find her. And sometimes like she'll leave for like a couple days, even, you know, more than 2 weeks, and I wouldn't see her at all. And then I asked her, you know, a couple months ago, I was like, where do you go? And she's like, I'm trying to find my mom, and she can't ever find her mom. It's been the same conversation every year for ever.
Can you describe to us what she looks like?
She has like brownish, like, you know, strawberry blonde hair. And she's a little bit taller than me because I'm 4'9". And she, you know, as a 19-year-old, it's pretty short. But she's like a couple inches taller than me. Her dress, she wears, you know, some simple like dress clothes. She wears like this cute little floral top that's kind of flared at the shoulders. And these like, I don't know, there's like this skirt. I can't really explain the texture of the skirt because, you know, it's kind of static to me. But it's, I know it kind of looks soft to me, but at the same time, it kind of feels like mesh. Like it like I felt her sit like in my presence, and I kind of felt mesh coming from her. So either she's wearing mesh and I'm just seeing that it's soft, but I can't explain the texture. But she wears this skirt that comes down to like mid-knee. So she's a very sculpted face. She's just very young and, you know, no wrinkles, no creases, no nothing.
And do you see her as translucent, or do you see her just as you see me and Catherine?
I see her, it's a bit of both. Like sometimes, like when I really focus on her, it's like translucent almost. But whenever like in the corner of my eye, it's like, you know, it's just like you and Catherine. It's just, you know, if I stare at her long enough, it's translucent. But it's, she's very beautiful. I've never met a spirit that beautiful before in my entire life.
Now you're seeing her with your physical eye or your mind's eye?
Honestly, I've been thinking about that for quite some time because I can't really tell. I'll ask like some people like, hey, like, do you see her like at all? And they're just like, no, I don't see her at all. And then like, sometimes I'll see her move things around, but nobody else sees her like at all. Like it's almost weird to me. I think it's my mind's eye, but I'm not completely sure.
Seeing her with your physical eye, you would see her standing like in front of you, like you could, like you see us right now. And in your mind's eye, it's more of an image that is in your head. It's in your mind.
See her physically. Yeah.
Okay. Like an apparition.
Yeah. This is going to sound so like weird to like y'all, cause I don't know how to explain it. In my Nana's house, I was asleep and I dreamed of me being in Emmy's like body. Like she watched me sleep. Like I did the same movements, same sleeping movements. And then she walked away I don't know how this occurred, but she was talking to another lady that lived in, or that was, you know, kind of floating around in my Nana's house. She was talking to her for quite some bit. And then she came back and I saw myself sit up and look at her. And then I just woke up. And I was just like, wow, that's crazy. And I guess she just wanted me to see like what she does while I'm like not around, or whenever she's not around. But sometimes it would just be, because I question every time, like maybe I'm, you know, it's like bits and pieces of my mind's eye and my physical eye. You know, my roommate Hunter, he sleeps in the living room. And she will be sitting in the corner just listening to us talk. And it would just be, you know, watching memes or watching TV, either one. And I would hear her laugh. And one time Hunter did hear her kind of laugh or like giggle a little bit. And he was a little terrified. And he was, because we didn't say anything, like, because it was loud and clear. I kind of sat there in silence because Hunter's atheist and doesn't believe in that kind of stuff. Well, about like 2 seconds later, like I was just like, did you hear a giggle? He goes, yeah, I just didn't want to mention it. I was like, okay, that's crazy. So ever since, like, we've been kind of communicating with Emmy through smoke communication. So we'll tell her to either move it left, move the smoke left or right for yes or no. And Hunter asked her a bunch of questions just to know her and everything. And she pointed it right or left, or if she didn't know, it would go straight. So we kind of manifest her when she's gone. For the longest she's gone for was 3 months. I haven't seen her around lately. I did hear some noises in the kitchen, but it is full apparitions most of the time, about 70% of the time. So, and then I'll have dreams of her kind of sitting on my bed doing nothing, or I have animals in my room. So I watched her play around with my guinea pig over in the corner, and it was crazy. Like my guinea pig was interacting with her, and it was the best, you know, experience that I've had so far with Emmy was her playing with my guinea pig in the cage. It was amazing. It was adorable.
So you mentioned that you talked to her. Have you ever asked her questions about the afterlife?
I chose not to, because I realized, because most of the time, like, I'll watch some, you know, videos on, like, you know, playing with Ouija boards or, you know, communicating with spirits. I have learned never to ask about the afterlife or if heaven is real or if hell is real. I have asked her, like, do you see everything clearly? And she's like, everything's kind of blurry. She said that everything is kind of just, you know, kind of blurry and not really, everything's kind of distorted almost. But I never really asked her about the afterlife, just in case I got something that was a little messed up. And because I don't want to know that. I've actually talked with a darker spirit other than Emily. I named him Nicholas. And I actually had the most traumatizing experience with Nicholas for months. He has never left my Nana's house at all. She actually, matter of fact, she had to move into my grandpa's house after he died because of Nicholas. So I asked him about the afterlife, and he told me that God isn't real. And I stopped. I didn't want to push it anymore. I stopped communicating. I told him goodbye, like usual. Because when I communicate with spirits, when you communicate with spirits, you always have to say goodbye, or it's just going to keep, you know, going and going. And he never left me alone after that. So, and, you know, I kind of condemned him to the house, which I have had many people try to get him out of my house. My Nana, in fact, got a priest over to her house and tried to get rid of Nicholas. And it never worked. It never, ever worked.
This episode of the Real Hauntings, Real Ghost Stories podcast is brought to you by Wild Grain. Hey, y'all, it's Noah Daniels, and oh boy, I just got my box of Wild Grain bread and pasta. My whole family has been so excited to dive in. We started with a sourdough, and it was amazing. If you're looking to make Mother's Day brunch planning easier or just looking for a great gift for your mom, you've got to check out Wild Grain. Order before May 6th to get your box in time for Mother's Day. Wild Grain is the first ever bake from frozen subscription box for sourdough breads, fresh pastas, and artisanal pastries. Every item bakes frozen in 25 minutes or less, no thawing required. The next thing up for us to try is the biscuits with our breakfast. And you can now fully customize your Wild Grain box, so you can choose any combination of breads, pastas, and pastries. You can even build a box of only breads, only pastas, or only pastries if you'd like. Plus, for a limited time, you can get $30 off the first box, plus free croissants in every box, when you go to wildgrain.com/hauntings to start your subscription. You heard me, free croissants in every box and $30 off your first box when you go to wildgrain.com/hauntings. That's wildgrain.com/hauntings, or you can use promo code hauntings at checkout.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Can you tell us about some of the bad behavior from Nicholas in that house?
So I don't know where to start. So I had been in my room for like all day, and I was feeling a little nauseous and I wasn't feeling well. All of a sudden I had this snap of like irritation almost, and it was almost like I couldn't control what I was saying. And I wouldn't really call it, you know, possession or anything. I would just call it, you know, just he's trying to take control of me. And my Nana walked in to try and check on me while I was trying to take a nap. And, you know, I turned off my TV, all my lights, I shut the blinds, all the curtains and everything in my room. She comes in and she's just like, hey, are you feeling well? Do you want anything to eat? I didn't sound like myself when I spoke to her, and I told her to fuck off and leave me alone. And if she comes back in here again, I don't want to explain the rest because it's a little graphic, but I told her if she ever came back again, it wouldn't end up all right for her. Later on that whole day, she did not talk to me. She went to sleep without saying goodnight to me. I was throwing up all evening, 4 hours straight. And I was kind of smelling like, I don't know, I didn't have the motivation to get out of bed. And I remember the whole room just smelled like sweat, like, you know, like a locker room in a gym. Like it just smelled disgusting. She comes in the next morning and I'm kind of looking out my window, like crying. And she, you know, she's rubbing my back, and I turn around, I grab her arm, I said, don't fucking touch me. And she just walked out. She didn't talk to me again for the rest of the day. I didn't feel like myself. And I knew from the start, like, okay, he's taking control of me. I need to do something about it. Later on, within that week, like, I felt just fine. I didn't feel any nausea. I didn't throw up. I wasn't having massive headaches. I got my room to smell good again. So I had this sudden like hit of pain in my lower back, and I couldn't really get up, and I kind of laid on the floor a little bit for like 2.5 hours, and I kept like trying to get up, you know, back and forth, try to move it around a little bit. And I stayed there for 2.5 hours trying to move around a little bit or like try to pop my back. And that pain was the worst pain that I've ever felt. So I laid back down for about 10, 15 minutes, a little bit more than 15 minutes now that I remember. And I see Nicholas come up, like I see his arm kind of like grab like near my hair, and he dragged me all across, like around my room, and I was screaming. My Nana wasn't home. And after like 10 minutes of that happening, he finally just got bored and went away.
Oh, gosh.
When Nana got home, I told her about it, and you know, she's super Christian. She doesn't like that stuff in her house. She especially doesn't want to talk about it. But when I told her, she almost threw me out of the house from it because she thought that I brought it in. But I don't know where he came from, like at all. I really don't know where he came from. And, you know, after moving out of my Nana's house and after she moved out of her house, I'm now in a brand new home where it's just good energy. I keep hearing like bangs on my front door, and Hunter is too. And it's just like one loud bang. And I didn't know if that was supposed to be like, you know, a warning or not. So what I did was, you know, I just kind of looked out the window. I didn't open the door. I didn't want to open the door. And I looked out the window and I just see this dark figure kind of run the other way, like behind the house. And I didn't see it ever again. But Hunter keeps going to that door and opening it. And I told him like several times, I was like, don't open the door. Please do not open the door if you hear that. And he keeps opening it because he can't see anything. But I haven't really noticed, like, I'm having some nausea here and there, but it will go away in like 5 minutes. And because I don't want to say that he's following me around, but Emmy did say something about Nicholas the other night, kind of hinted it. And she was like, I just want to say that Nicholas is still around and I don't want you opening the door anymore.
Gosh. Yeah. That's more than a hint. Can you describe what Nicholas looks like?
It's just I don't want to like over exaggerate it just in case he's not that tall, but I'd say he's about 8 or 9 feet tall.
Oh my gosh.
It's just black. And like, you can see like some hairs, but like, it's very like, it's hard to notice like with the naked eye. Like, you would have to look away a little bit to see it a little bit, but when you look at him, it's just like there's nothing there. But I've seen him, you know, crawl on the ceiling. That's with my grandmother, TikTok. He was actually the one crawling on my ceiling. He's very huge, intimidating. I've never heard him spoke before. I've never heard him speak anything to me other than like growl or hiss at me, just make weird sounds. But I just don't hear him speak at all. It's just sounds coming from his mouth. And, you know, I see some facial features like the contour of his face, but I can't really tell you like what his like whole, like his T-zone looks like. I just know that like from, it's kind of sucked in a little bit too much on the cheeks. Like, it's really skinny. And his eyes is just like an ombre, like a gray to black. And they don't really glow. I don't want to say like they glow or anything, but when it was nighttime, like I would kind of see him peek over, you know, because I never had a door for my room. I just had this little foldable kind of like blockage for like, you know, medieval times with closets and everything.
Okay.
So I had this foldable thing for a door, and I would see him peek over a little bit, and I would just see the eyes like plain and clear. And they weren't really, it was just like a bright gray, but they weren't glowing, I don't think. I never really like wanted to look at him long enough to really notice if they were glowing or not. But it's a very nice ombre kind of, it goes from like light gray to a black. Very, very nicely. It's very clean. But yeah, he's very tall. Sometimes when he gets close to me, I notice that it's like static on a television. But usually like when it's from afar, he's just a dark apparition. He's just a dark figure.
Catherine, what is this dark presence that is really scary?
Okay, so I have a couple of thoughts here. Number one, I feel like with Emmy, it's very possible, very likely that she is coming to you because you are someone who has been through a lot of traumas, as we already discussed. And it sounds like she's looking to cross over. The blurring that she's seeing, if that's the way that she's seeing it, if that interpretation is correct, I would say that she is not crossed over. And my understanding of the afterlife, and maybe that is just separate from like a Christian perspective, but my understanding is that totally okay to ask about the afterlife. And it's not, just be careful what you read on Reddit is essentially what I would say. Like, but I would invite you to do a little Googling, check out some Hay House books, Hay House Publishing, dive into some more valid content for sure that can be backed up and is well researched. But also Nicholas feels to me, we have this ability as people to manifest energy. And it sounds almost to me like a manifestation of your personal demons, so to speak, that you're seeing physically manifest in front of you. So the more healing and the more clearing of your own energy you do, the less encounters you'll have with someone like this. So when we're used to, when I work with people, when I work with other mediums, just coming into their mediumship gifts and their psychic gifts, we talk about protecting energy like you've talked about. We also talk about only connecting from a state where you are confident in what you're able to do, or you're at least not afraid of what you could bring in. So if you have a lot of fear around this, and a lot of times it's because of different religious philosophies that we were raised with, then you can create this space for lower vibrational beings to come in. And the D word, the demon, is more of a human created concept. It's less, it's more of a lower vibrational, less developed kind of entity. If you can think of something that was never human, because it's not like advanced enough to be human in layman's terms. So it's more of like this earth creature kind of thing. And it's kind of just kind of bumbling around trying to figure out its own existence. Is there evil? Yeah, 100%. But I wouldn't personally put it in like a heaven or hell type thing. That's my perception. Nicholas, to me, feels like something that has been manifested out of our own experiences. And it almost sounds to me like Emmy is a spirit who has attached to you. Yes. But the time in which she found you, I feel like there was a lot of stressful energy in the home that you were in, and that can create poltergeist activity, which you could see with the doors and that sort of thing. And you being a teenager, just talking about that, just being a teenage girl with a perfectly normal Leave It to Beaver family is going to still create enough energy to call in anything, because teenage girls were crazy. So for you to have that experience, I would bet that it was more of a poltergeist energy that you were dealing with. And I would also be willing to bet that Emmy is looking for her family, and which you said, but I would, if I were you, I would encourage her to go to the other side to help her find them, or to find someone who can help her do that, because I think she's lost, and to find that healing, to get that clarity, she needs to go to the other side. She needs to cross over. If that all makes sense.
Oh yeah. It makes perfect sense.
Wow. I don't know what to do. I just want to sit here and listen to more. you know, this reminds me really of like one of our old school episodes when we used to get more like really scary episodes. And Kat, I appreciate you coming on and sharing this. There's a real yin and yang to both of the stories. I put stories in quotations. Really, it's more than just a story that you've shared with us. If our audience would like to follow more and kind of explore more of your experiences, where can they find you?
So I really just talk about my experiences on TikTok, because, you know, most of my, whenever I post it on like Snapchat or Instagram, it's just like my friends are like, wow, you're a crazy bitch, aren't you? And like I don't, like, usually like some of my friends are just like, okay, you know, you got this little girl following you around. I don't think I want you to come over right now. Just let me know when Emmy's gone. I'm just like, no matter how much I try to explain to them, like, Emmy is good. It's just like, whenever I say like, oh, Emmy's a little girl that just follows me around, it's just like a little bit skittish for them to, like, you know, invite me over to their house. But I always bring Emmy over to my mom's house, and Emmy seems pretty excited to go over to my mom's house. And, you know, my mom, she's just like, so is Emmy with you? I'm just like, yeah, she's been sitting here this whole entire time, every time I go over there. And she's like, oh, well, how long is she staying for? And I'm just like, well, she's just going to stay here till I leave. But I usually just talk about my experiences on TikTok. It's kind of just the start of it because I don't really talk about it. This is like my first time really talking about my experiences on social media because I didn't know how people were going to take it. And, you know, I just decided, I was like, you know what? Since it's spooky season and, you know, I think I'm confident enough to, you know, tell people about, you know, the experiences that I've had, I might as well go on ahead and do it. And I wasn't expecting to blow up like that, like at all. I thought it was just going to be like, oh, people aren't really going to watch this because, you know, maybe they won't believe it. And I've had people be like, oh my God, that's really terrifying. Like, are you safe? You know, like do a story time. And it seems like people are so interested that like, I have to keep doing more. And I was going to do just one experience, which was how I was talking to my grandmother. And then it led to Emmy. And then it led to the figure crawling on my bed. And then, you know, it led to someone walking in the hallway thinking that it was my Nana. There's so many more experiences that I've had that, like, I don't think I could, like, really explain in any better way than to say that it's terrifying but cool at the same time.
I think that's like a good slogan for our podcast too. It's terrifying but cool at the same time.
Exactly.
And that TikTok, that's
Gory Shorty with an underscore. There you go.
So fans, if you want to check Kat out, make sure you go to her TikTok and it's Gory Shorty underscore. She's got some really scary original content on there that will also add some context to the stories that you've heard here or vice versa, which I think is really interesting too. Man, I'm just blown away. This is a really interesting night. You are always welcome back.
Oh, Earmark's yeah. Friends. I would love to come back.
Yeah. Real Hauntings is a safe space for people to share their stories with the supernatural. Catherine, did you have any more questions or comments for Kat before we wrap up?
I don't. I think that, of course, and then I say something, but I just want to say that I think that you are a very connected person. And yes, obviously be careful, but try not to be afraid of it. And if you feel at any point that it's overwhelming, always reach out for help, but know that that kind of natural gift is very powerful and it's an incredible thing to have. So don't waste it. It's almost like a superpower and it's a really incredible thing to have.
Definitely.
And you can feel it with you. So just embrace it and own it and no fear. Okay. It was a pleasure to meet you. Really. It was
a pleasure to meet you guys as well. For real. Oh,
thank you so much. And always you can always, who am I talking to? Real Haunting fans. You can always check out Catherine at the Murder and Mediumship podcast. But Catherine, you're doing some new stuff over there. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, thank you so much. I've started a segment on my podcast on Murder and Mediumship called Coffee and Conjurings. And we're talking more about normalizing mediumship and psychic gifts. And it's ever since COVID hit that a lot of people are starting to explore their intuition. So I'm talking more about what that means to me and just what to look out for with different healers and mediums and all sorts of things that you run into that you find on TikTok that either give you fear or misinformation. And it's kind of about being spiritual and woo-woo without being really like full all in deep. I don't want to say crazy, but like, you don't have to believe in gnomes and fairies to come jam with me, but you can if you want to. So it's a safe place for the spiritually minded to come be sarcastic, have a cup of coffee and just relax. So thank you so much for plugging that as well. I appreciate that.
Yeah. And if you feel like you don't get enough Noah in your life, if you haven't heard enough of my voice, make sure you go over and check out Catherine's podcast. She was kind enough to invite me on as well. And I've already booked guests who heard me on your podcast. So I appreciate that you had me on. So it was really cool. And you can check Catherine out on her social media, catherine.ann.intuitive. She's always posting great stuff on there. I love following her on Instagram and TikTok. So with that, I'm Noah Daniels.
I'm Catherine.
Ooh. Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.